learn, and an opportunity to express yourself. Get involved with our newsmakers and our newsbreakers of today and tomorrow. Talk Radio invites your participation. Talk Radio is...
Bill Jenkins.
And welcome to a Saturday night on KABC. I am Bill Jenkins. This is Open Mind. And tonight, we have a treat for you. A treat indeed for you. A man who I have read his works, been a part of his works, studied his works for many, many years now, and our trails have just never crossed for some reason or another. He's been there, and I have been here, and we have been everywhere, but tonight, what a rare opportunity to have him with you. I think he is one of the giants in the vanguard of human thought and human research. His work has been incredible in the relationship between animals and human beings. He has some incredible stories to tell you about that. Incredible is the wrong word. That means you don't believe it. Astounding stories. He is very much a part of the world of crystals and the enormous effect that crystals are having upon our lives right now. And so much more. Really a scientist, and I'm delighted to have him a part of us. Welcome, Dr. Marcel Vogel. Marcel,
How are you there? Are we on the line now?
We are on the line, and you're on the air.
I'm happy to hear you and to be able to talk and be with you this evening.
Marcel is with... Are you still with IBM, Marcel?
No, I retired in April, and I'm devoting my full time to doing what I call psychic research. I have retired, built a laboratory, and I've got a laboratory in San Jose on 1725 Little Orchard Street, and I'm teaching doctors, nurses, therapists the use of crystals in their therapeutic practice.
Do you still have the plants around telling you what's going on?
Oh, yes. We're also working with the plants and teaching both children and doctors how to communicate with nature as well. What I'm basically trying to do is to teach people to be more loving, to be more attentive to one another in a realistic way instead of just using words.
Isn't that what this new age is about?
Yes, it is. And I think it's the most wonderful and exciting thing we can have because we've been so occupied in my early youth with the idea of the intellectual powers of people, their ability to be giants of cognitive reasoning, and the like. And I think this generation is going to be a generation of dealing with the inner sense of being and the ability to love one another and not try to put each person into a box or a place.
You know, we talk about that being one of the facets of the New Age movement. But I guess we have to attribute one of the early members of the New Age movement to Jesus.
Oh, it is. Well,
who said love?
He is my guideline. I've loved him from childhood.
What he had to say is something that was not heeded, unfortunately.
That is true, because if you wish to love me, love your fellow man. And that was his whole dictum and teaching. And look what we have done with it. We have built it into rigid structures and locked people back into a prison again. And I'm trying to teach people to be free of that so that they can respect each person's belief system, but above all, learn from nature.
Do unto others as you would have others do unto you.
That is so true.
It's an ancient old adage. But you know, one of the encouraging things about this new time, Marcel, that we live in, is the technology that we have now thrust upon ourselves.
I know.
And this technology now demands more than ever before that we be able to do that, because we are now at the moment that we have allowed our technology to far surpass our spirituality, and because of that, we are about ready to use our technology upon ourselves.
That is so true.
Which will annihilate ourselves.
Well, look at the threats of atomic destruction that are posed throughout the world on one another. We cannot survive if we build one weapon on another weapon, because it will only end up in total destruction. To me, the ultimate defense is if we can learn to be loving to one another. It brings to mind a moment right now of Mahatma Gandhi. The Indian nation was under the grip of the British people, and this one little man taught passive resistance and brought that whole British government to a standstill, and they left the India and gave India back to the Indians. Mahatma Gandhi taught the Indian people to love, not by fighting, but by maintaining their dignity and knowing who they were and what they wanted. We must do the same thing to our children. I did something, Bill, and I'd like to share it with you and your listeners at this time. When I was with IBM, I gave a class to the young children, 10 to 12-year-old children, on what I called a mind-boggling class. And in this class, I taught children to bend metals with total ease, to locate hidden objects with telepathy, the use of dowsing rods, and to be able to communicate on a mind-to-mind basis through the feeling. The net product of this teaching was that each person stood in front of the class as a final examination and was able to move ahead 10 years and precisely describe where they were going, what type of profession they were going to go into, and how they were going to accomplish it. That is what I mean by loving, being able to go within, know who you are, and then express it in a clear, unequivocal way.
Isn't a part of it also, Marcel, at knowing the powers that you have?
You hear what I said a moment ago. I opened those powers that have been suppressed,
mm-hmm.
been looked on in ridicule, like in telepathy, and being able to communicate with plants and feel the powers that come from nature. And then you have no fear.
You know, let me share something with you, if I may. This afternoon, just this afternoon, my son and I were in our backyard.
All right.
And he has, you know, listened to his dad, who he thinks is a little off the branch, you know, every now and then.
Isn't that true?
But he was able to move himself into an altered state of consciousness today.
Uh-huh.
And we spent the afternoon just cleaning the sky of clouds.
Isn't that fun?
It's magnificent fun.
Isn't that fun?
Great thunderheads would rise, and we tossed them away.
Right.
Now, I know that, you know, here I am, a respected journalist in Los Angeles, but I do, indeed, move clouds around.
Well, Bill, I did the same thing with Andrea Poharic. Have you heard of him?
Oh, yes, he's been on the show. He's
all right,
a
well,
dear friend of mine.
We were driving in Canada, and there were a group of clouds moving overhead, and we stopped the car, and Andrea pointed to the clouds and said, "Can you dissolve that cloud?" I said, "Do you want me to do it?" He said, "Yes." So I looked at it, pointed my finger, and just slipped the cloud with my mind, the thing just split, opened up, and dissolved.
It takes a couple of minutes. Well, for me, it takes four. You're probably far advanced than me.
No, it takes a couple of minutes.
Takes about 4 minutes to do.
That's about all, because suddenly you see the thing is a slit, and then it starts to break up, and then it's gone. Because what you do, you remove the charge that holds the water molecules apart, that forms a cloud, and they coalesce and form rain.
Well, my good friend Tom Bearden would say that your left and right hemisphere of the mind is acting as a scalar interferometer.
That is true, and you just break up the patterns that way.
And you, a little bit of simple concentration, you can do it. It finally gets to be old hat, that you can clear the sky out of clouds.
I'm going to give you one now, which all of you can participate who are listening. I did this in Hawaii after I'd given a program to a group of people at the Unity Church. We went out on the beach, and we lay down on the beach. It was about 9 o'clock at nighttime. The sky was crystal clear. Then I looked at the Big Dipper. And Mr. Charles, the singer, was with me. I said, could we communicate with one of those stars? And I looked at the star and took a deep breath, and I became one with the star. And it started to scintillate at a different rate of vibration than the other stars around. And I withdrew the breath. It went back to the normal vibration. I did this again and again. We can communicate with any planetary system we wish if we just relax our mind, take a deep breath, and go and be with that star. Have you tried that yet?
No, but I am certainly going to do it tonight, Marcel.
It is a glorious experience.
I have learned over the course of the better than 5 years that I have been doing this show, and when I started doing it, I was a novice of the first degree,
uh-huh.
a skeptic of the first order, a political economic commentator.
All right.
I am somebody different now.
You're growing. You're expanding.
Yes. And fortunately, the delightfully vast audience we have on this show has too.
Good.
And I am so delighted to have you with us tonight, Marcel, and I'm looking forward to when you can be in the studio with us.
I would be very happy to do that. I would have loved to have been tonight, but I had the group of doctors. It was a one-day workshop that Dr. Laskow and myself had in our laboratory for doctors on the use of crystals in therapeutic healing and practice. We're giving these as regular courses now to the medical profession.
Well, your work has already proved to be legion in that area, and we want to discuss that with you, the healing power of crystals. We want to discuss with you the interrelation between the human being and the plants. We want to discuss with you the power of telekinesis and the ominous research that's going on in the Soviet Union.
All right, I've been to all of them, especially into the Soviet Union.
I know you have, and that's the reason I wanted to be with you tonight.
All righty.
And there is so far to go, and we have 3 hours to go. I am speaking to Dr. Marcel Vogel. He is really one of the most advanced theoretical physicists in the world. And it's more than just theory, because he has put it into application and into fact and into form and into the data. We're not talking about just myths in the wind, but we are talking about something that is actually going on, a part of the reality of the world that we live in that you probably are not aware of. And if you're not aware of it, stay with us, because tonight we will perhaps change a little bit of your concepts of the world that we live in, and all we ask as that you have an open mind. I'm Bill Jenkins. We'll be right back. Yeah, up north here in California is Dr. Marcel Vogel, who spent many illustrious years with the IBM Corporation and is spending illustrious years in service of his fellow man. Marcel, let us talk first about this thing called telekinesis.
All right.
Can we do that?
Surely.
Telekinesis is something that probably boggles a lot of minds, that with your mind, simply using that energy, and you and I touched on it a minute ago, that you can literally move things around.
Right.
You can move objects around.
Well, let us go back 2,000 years ago. What did Christ say? If your faith were great enough, you can move mountains.
He wasn't just making that up, was he? He had the science. In fact, he used it quite often.
I have a very large microscope that I worked with when I was with IBM, the Zeiss UltraPro 3B, and I now have it in my possession as a gift from IBM.
Oh, 1962,
I worked with the microscope with materials called liquid crystals.
Yes.
They're intermediate between liquid and solid. It was a combination of cholesterol oleate and cholesterol chloride and nonanoate. It's liquid at room temperature, but is exceedingly sensitive to the charges that the human mind can release. I focused on that compound for 1 hour, continually focused. At the end of the hour, an image had formed from my mind onto that material, and then I photographed it with the camera that I had attached to the microscope. I did this many, many times. The ultimate expression of telekinesis is that we release an energy with mind that is a pattern of vibration which can be accumulated by matter and be photographed and studied. And this is the type of research I'm doing now in the laboratory that I have.
Is this part of the Delaware Thought Photography?
I have that camera in my possession. The only one left in the world. It was sent to me by Elizabeth Bearline and Lavender Dower. I can operate that camera.
And you can take pictures of thoughts.
I've got many, many hundreds of plates, and we're studying that in the laboratory with a group of scientists.
You know, my wife would like very much to get a picture of one of my thoughts.
I would be happy to have you come up sometime when we can do this together. Would you like to do that?
I will.
Yeah.
Would I like to do that? Are you kidding?
Yeah. Yeah. The results, I've made a quantum leap in thought photography in a sense that no longer do I just have a picture that is the product of an exposure of the silver halide, but I've gone into the study of the glass plates with the microscope up to 1,000 diameter magnification. And now I find in the gelatin emulsion a series of satellite patterns that look like a cloud chamber. There are streaks, there are vibrating particles. It shows that there is particulate energy coming from mind that I am observing and photographing on the film. Now, I have literally hundreds of plates that I've taken with that Delaware camera of these type of effects. So the mind releases a charge, particulate-like charge, which can be cohered by synchronizing the left and the right hemisphere together. And that synchronization gives a coherency to a field, and the mind then can release a charge like a laser. That accounts for what we spoke about before in your moving clouds or
dissipating
dissolving them, or taking a piece of metal, holding it in your hand and focusing on it, and you can dissolve the charge between the atoms of the iron, and the metal becomes placid, soft, and bends readily.
You just rearrange the bonding between the molecules.
That's all there is to it. In fact, we can do some metal bending afterwards. So people will get spoons out, and I'll go through an exercise with them. Would you like that?
I would love that. All right, let's do that.
All right.
Those that are listening, don't get one of your best pieces of silver, but just get, a piece of flatware or something, whatever you don't mind being bent. Shall we bend some metal here tonight?
I think it'd be fun, don't you?
I would love to do it. Can I bend my fountain pen? Because I didn't bring a spoon with me tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Myself.
Well, you didn't expect that, did you?
I didn't expect that, so I didn't know we were going to do that.
Oh, you never know what I'm going to do when you get me on the program like this.
I knew this was going to be an awful lot of fun. You know, we have said time and time again here, in talking to Andrea Paharich and Tom Bearden and some of the others, that a human thought, is literally in the virtual state. And it produces energy that goes to work in the environment around you.
That is true.
And you are literally photographing it now, testing it. And, of course, it has been tested. And most people don't understand that when they think, they produce energy.
They sure do.
And the trick to life, I think, is making sure that that energy that you produce with your thoughts is energy that is in harmony with the all-prevailing energy, that the sea of energy in which we exist. And
that is love, my friend.
That's exactly. Love is a thought that creates energy.
Yeah, but creates a harmonious energy.
That is in total harmony with the nature, character, and personality of the Creator.
The definition I have for love is a power or force that creates unity from diversity, that coheres two opposites and brings it to a state of oneness and well-being. Now, we have two hemispheres of our brain. We have the rational mind, which works through the sensoriums of the sensory mechanisms that we have, but we have the other part of our brain, the creative part, the one that knows no limit or bound. And when we bring these two together and bring them into harmony within ourselves, that is the state of well-being or love.
Now, you see, what you have done and what we have done, we have removed love from the realm of the religionist and the poets and put it into the hands of the scientist.
That is true.
And there is a very profound meaning behind an explanation for love, because now it's not something mystical, but it is something that is deeply enriched in scientific data.
Yeah. Now, let me bring a point of focus again to the statement of Christ. If you wish to love me, love your fellow man. It's a direct statement that we should work into observing the actions of our thoughts, our thought forms on other people. Love your fellow man. Means I must look to my fellow man to find out about myself. And in that finding out, which is a discovery, come to a better understanding of both myself and my fellow man, then that develops then a relationship. But it requires, in order to do that, a training, a disciplining, a involved form of development, which is not instinctive.
No.
You follow me?
I certainly do.
And that's where the training comes. And I really mean this, and this may sound funny for a moment. A real quantum leap, growth, and development has taken place in myself when I became involved in giving this class in IBM on creativity in 1969. And we took up this Baxter experiment of, do plants have emotions? And I mentally ridiculed this. But then when I got this paper, I picked it up and challenged the class. Can you imagine now in IBM, a class of 35 scientists trying to talk to plants and communicate with them?
I bet they were amazed when they found out they could.
Well, the class went at it in a systematic way, as they were trained to do, in the sense that we set up a committee of a programmer to store and record the information, where they had a grouping of plants that they had electroded. We made our own psych analyzer, and their net conclusion from 3 months of experimentation that they saw nothing above the noise level of the baseline. And I went in competition with the class, and at the end of 3 months, I took one plant, made a friend of it, and asked the plant when it was ready to experiment with me. I got a feeling, responded to it, electroded, and did one set of experiments, and it changed my life. Because what I saw was that the moment I thought, an exchange of energy took place between myself and the plant. There was a minute squiggle in the baseline. And I did this again and again with a man by the name of Dr. Jan Thomas. Presented it to the class. They saw the data. And it didn't sink in. But that minute squiggle has put me on this program with you. Because then I brought it home. And I practiced night after night for almost 1 year. Learning breath control, all of the principles of yoga without ever reading about it. And once I saw that data, I said, that is real, and now I have to critically and seriously study it. So from learning the feedback I got from the plant, it opened my whole consciousness to the reality that we exist not only in our body, but outside of our body and into the universe as well. So the plant was really a guru to open my consciousness. Kind of fun, isn't it?
It's very fun. I certainly have experienced it some, but not near to the degree that you have done it. The work that you have done with plants is legion. And I want to take a little break right now and remind everybody to get their spoons out, because we're going to bend some. Why don't we do that here rather early on in the show?
Well, you name the time and I'll do it with you.
Why don't we do that right after we take a break?
Good. I have the crystal in my hand, and I'm going to be pumping energy to the crystal and to everyone in the audience.
And all right.
I'm going to give them a chance to experience things that most people have never had before.
All right, here's what we're going to do then. This is totally unrehearsed, Marcel. You and I never even had a chance to talk before.
Never for a moment. And so there's no program. There's nothing. I'm just creating as we go along.
We're winging it. This is what the show... We wing this show all of the time, Marcel.
I know you do.
What we will do, we'll take a break. You get your spoons. And as soon as you come back, we'll be back with Dr. Marcel Vogel. And he is going to teach you. And if you have a keen eye and a good mind, you're going to be able to change the composition of matter right in front of your eyes, I would imagine. I want to run down the hall and get a spoon myself if I can find one.
Okay.
And we'll be right back. I'm Bill Jenkins. It's Open Line, but this is Dr. Marcel Vogel. And we are about to bend some spoons or whatever you have in your mind, in your hand now. A little experiment, okay?
All right.
Ready to try that?
What I'm going to do first is to project a energy field to the crystal I have in my hand.
Mm-hmm.
It's a double terminated quartz crystal that we cut specially for healing purposes. So what I'll ask you to do now, all of you who are listening to me, is to lift up your hands and hold them in the air in front of you, and I'm going to project to your hands a field through the crystal to you. Now, I'm going to draw my breath in.
Well, I have an engineer here by the name of Donald O'Connor. I don't know how skeptical Donald is, but he is going to follow along. No, he says he believes, right? Okay.
All right, now, I'm going to release my breath and start projecting.
I just got a spoon myself.
I'm not bending the spoon yet, but I'm just projecting a field.
Hands up in the air, right, both of them?
Yeah. Now, what you should feel will be like a wind. It's a release of a charge.
I feel it. Marcel, I feel it. There's
there
a wind blowing over my left hand, but not over my right.
It comes in one hand only.
But I got it on my left.
You receive on the left and you emit on the right. There it comes.
It sure is.
I've never done this before, so this is a brand new experiment.
Well, I got the wind on my left hand.
That's it. Now, I'm going to go into a circle of motion. Watch the effect on your body now. Breathe in. Out. In. Out. You should feel that now like a charge. Here it comes. Can you feel that?
I'm also getting the wind on my right hand.
I know. I'm pumping both sides now. Like a wind.
Mm-hmm.
See, we are 400 and some odd miles apart.
I'm feeling it.
But it still can be felt.
What about you, Donald? Are you feeling it? Milton, are you feeling it? I have two gentlemen in the studio in the with me, and they are feeling it.
They are feeling it, too.
Yes.
Good. Isn't that interesting?
I'm overwhelmed.
Now, if everyone will get their spoons, hold them in your hand.
Left hand or right?
You hold it with both hands, and now hold the spoon end with your left hand and start stroking the spoon with your right hand. As you stroke, the spoon will become sticky because there will be a charge transfer taking place from your body into the metal. And where the hand sticks, keep the finger in that position. And now, look at the spoon with your eyes and visualize the metal becoming soft and plastic, no longer a rigid metal. Lightly test the spoon to feel the rigidity of the metal. Now, draw in your breath deeply. Hold the breath. Focus on the spoon, the metal. Create an image of your mind of the metal bending. And suddenly let your breath out and bend the spoon. And the metal will let go just like butter. And as it lets go, you can bend, stop for a moment, catch your breath, focus on it again, and release, and the metal will start to bend again. You can do this again and again until the metal is twisted into a little tiny pile. I've tried to assist now each person in doing this by projecting energy, a field to each of you to do this with. There it comes. Now I have to relax for a moment and catch my own breath. Once I've done this on television, there was a sudden interruption of the picture where there was a loss in the on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's done. We should be able to listen to some of the readers, the listeners now, and see if they were able to do it.
I'm looking at Milton here in the studio with me.
Yes.
And there is a good bend in his fork.
Okay.
Donald was working with a knife.
I've done a knife. There's a problem with the knife. You have to be very, very fast because that stainless steel will hold the charge for just a fraction of a second and then it's gone again. So when you get the right moment, it'll bend just like butter, that heavy stainless steel knife.
Well, I have to admit, Marcel, I was working with a spoon and didn't do anything.
It did not.
Well, but, you know, I'm involved with a lot of other things rather than...
Your mind is occupied. It would be illogical for you to do it with the type of thing that you have to do, keep your mind on the program and doing.
But I am looking at a bent fork here that Milton just gave me.
Good.
And it is bent, Donald, right? All right, now.
Isn't this fun?
I love it. I wish I could have bent the spoon, but I must confess that I couldn't concentrate everything on it, although I wanted to turn it into little knots. But, but you know, I'm the guy that's been wanting to go out of body for 5 years. I haven't made that yet either, but I will.
You will. It's no trouble. It's just take a breath and out you go.
Now, what I want to do, for those of that may have been playing this experiment with us here, let me give some telephone numbers so they can check in.
Mm-hmm.
All of our numbers end in TALK, T-A-L-K. If you're in the Los Angeles area, your number is 520-TALK. If you're in the San Fernando Valley, 990. If you're in Pasadena, Glendale or Burbank, 244. If you're in the San Gabriel Valley, out in the new 818 area code, your number is 448. In the South Bay area, that's Manhattan Beach, Palos Verdes, Redondo Beach, Rolling Hills, all of those areas, 679. If you're down at Long Beach, San Pedro, Paramount, Downey, Linwood, 639. And if you're in Orange County in the 714 area code, your number is 750. Or if you're in the 619 area code, your number is 750. If you're in the 818 area code of Orange County, you're 448. And if you did participate in this experiment, and if you did bend the metal, or if you didn't, I want you to call in and check in with us. And not only that, feel free to ask Dr. Marcel Vogel any question you may have on your mind, because he is one of our leading researchers in many, many fields, certainly the relationship between plants and animals.
Bill, yes. I would like to add one more thing right
certainly.
Now. We are turning out bi-monthly a newsletter. A psychic research newsletter, which is available for $25 for a 2-year subscription. And in there, I give all sorts of experiments any person can do to check out and identify these type of forces.
Could you give us the address on that newsletter?
Yes, it's on 1725 Little Orchard Street, San Jose, California.
And the zip code?
Don't have it in memory right now. I was looking for that, and I don't have that. I can give you my home address, and that I have is 819 Morse Street, M-O-R-S-E Street, San Jose, California, 95126. Now, this newsletter, I pretty much dictate myself, and it's geared towards a practical development of these powers and skills that we speak of as psychic. They're just an extension of our normal faculties.
That's all it is. Psychic ability is something that is a part of all of us, and we would like to see everybody learning how to use it for their well-being as much
That's
as possible.
That's the main thing.
We'll get to our callers in just a second and see how our experiment went, Marcel. Of course, we have a lot of ground to cover yet before midnight. I'm with Dr. Marcel Vogel. This is Open Mind. I'm Bill Jenkins, the leading New Age scientist, experimenters, innovators, theoreticians of our time. And he's just told us how and showed us how to bend some spoons, helped us. And here in the studio, we did bend spoons. I didn't, but Milton did. Donald, how did you make it with a knife? Not too well. Donald didn't do it on the knife. But we have Joanne on the line. Hello, Joanne. Did you bend something?
I sure did. And I'm at work.
And you're at work.
Right. I'm a dispatcher for a security outfit. So if my phone's ringing, I got to run.
Okay.
Hello, Joanne.
Hi, Dr. Vogel.
What, did you enjoy that?
I sure did. And I am an advanced student in psychic development.
You are. That is wonderful.
I bend it forward, backward, and then was able to put it into its normal shape.
Yeah, isn't that beautiful?
It sure is.
But did you notice that moment of transition, the metal ceases to be metal?
Mm-hmm.
And it goes into that relaxed state, and it's amendable to your mind.
Right.
Now, that is a wonderful teaching, because that is a point of coherence when your mind is operating in an exactly focused manner. Now, you can do this same thing to a plant. You can focus on a leaf, look at it intently, and pulse your breath, and that leaf will move without touching it.
Oh, really? Oh, I never experiment with plants.
Well,
I had a plant that when I walk up to it, it would shake all over.
Yeah, that is the choice.
Oh, well, my house does that all the time.
I know, because, you see, your field radiates to that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because with my church, we do a lot of psychic development with it, and the Reverend had given us several classes in psychic development, and we do a lot of meditation.
Beautiful.
And we deal with the spirits this way.
Well, Joanne, it seems like it. You're doing very well, but I'm going to, thank you very much for involving yourself in our experiment. I want to go on because we have a gal by the name of Sue on the line who did not bend her spoon, so we'll talk to her. Joanne, thank you very, very much.
You're quite welcome, and thank you.
Thank you. Now. Sue, you weren't able to do it.
No, I couldn't bend my spoon, and I'm disappointed about it.
Well, I didn't bend mine either, so don't feel bad.
Well, I'm kind of skeptical. Is all these things that you're telling us really, really true?
You don't think I would like to?
Well, how would I know? Because, see, I was wondering, like, if you can really do those things to the clouds, I mean, why wouldn't something like that be in the newspapers and make big news?
Newspapers are not interested in people that can dissipate clouds. You know, we've had them come out and look at it, and they say, oh, yeah, what else do you do?
I can help you. Can you hear me?
Yes, barely.
Can you hear me now?
Just barely.
All right, well, I did these experiments. I was with IBM then, and I would have the IBM scientists in and watch the experiments. They would see that operating, and they would say, I see it, but I can't believe it. So they'd walk away.
And I'm not going to tell my readers or listeners that I witnessed something like this, or they'll think I'm Looney Tunes.
Do you think that maybe I couldn't bend my spoon because of your five-second delay and maybe the energy got kind of mixed up?
Well, there was no five-second delay there.
Over the radio. I heard you over the radio giving your instructions.
I see. Well,
I don't think so because, you know, we just had one person do it.
Uh-huh. Well, how do I know she did it?
Well, is she going to lie to us?
She might.
All right. Listen, so you didn't bend your spoon. Joanne did, and there's our music, which means that we're going to have to take a break right now. Thank you very much for participating in the experiment, Sue.
Okay.
We may even try it later tonight. You'll have better luck, okay?
Okay, bye-bye.
I have something else even more exciting.
Okay.
And we'll do some more exciting things, as Marcel said. You're spending a Saturday night with me. I'm Bill Jenkins, and my guest is Dr. Marcel Vogel, a science that most people don't even believe exists. The ability to communicate with animals. The healing power of crystals, telekinesis, so many things. I don't know whether we couldn't begin to scratch the surface with you tonight, Marcel. I didn't bend my spoon, but Milton bent his spoon here in the studio with me. Donald did not bend his knife, but Donald is also keeping his eye on how I punch the buttons. We had one spoon bender in the audience and one who did not. Are you ready to go to another one? Let's get some feedback. You ready there, Marcel? There you are. Are you with me? I just punched you.
Yes, can you hear me now?
I hear you now.
Good.
We have Earl on the line. Earl, did you bend something?
Yeah, it sounds kind of ridiculous, but because I don't normally do these type of things. I picked up a metal bracket that just... shelf bracket, and it's probably about a 32nd of an inch thick, and it's about 8 inches long, and it's tapered from about 2 inches down to about a quarter of an inch, and I was able to bend it.
Fine.
It bent right in front of your eyes, did it?
It did, yeah. Well, I put a little pressure on it.
You put a little...
I didn't do it, but it was a lot easier than... It was much easier than normal.
You wouldn't be able to bend it ordinarily.
No.
All right. You can say that very confidently, that you did not just, you know, with brute strength, bend that shelf bracket.
No.
Well,
something else happened, right?
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah, the main thing is you have to convince yourself, because you did it, and you have to analyze what you have, and then...
It didn't bend by itself. I did put some pressure on it, but
say you'd bend it by yourself. Other people can do that, young children especially, but in the first go-around... You need to assist it with a little pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Are you saying, Marcel, then, with a little more practice using the technique you taught us a little bit ago, that you can bend things and you don't have to put any pressure on them at all?
You don't even have to touch it.
Do you have any more shelf brackets, Earl?
Yes, I do. I tried another one, and it was a lot more difficult.
All right, then you compare one to the other. But remember, we're doing this remotely, and this is the first time around that we do this. And... a Professor Hasted in England has studied a group of children, and he's published a scientific report on this, and he has people bending metals in a tube of glass. He has strain gauges attached to them, and the moment they focus their mind to bend, you can see a rippling like a sonic wave coming from the person that shows on the strain gauge, and then the metal bends spontaneously. Now, these are exceptional children, but they have been able to do this. I have the papers here in front of me, in fact, right beside me right now.
Marcel, I have a lot of data on a lady who has been a guest on this show a couple of times by the name of Greta Woodrue.
All right.
Greta,
I know Greta.
She doesn't just bend spoons, she shrinks them.
Right. We were together with Andrea Paharich.
Yes.
And we did some interesting experiments. I have a fork that she bent right beside me at this time. And I also did work with her with the crystals, and it was quite surprising to her the release of a field that could be projected with a crystal into a person. She gave me one of her books. We had a lot of fun together.
She's something else, but to watch a spoon shrink.
That is right.
It's something else.
Well, these things are real.
You don't invite Greta to dinner.
No, because your dinner gets kind of scrambled.
Earl, thank you very much for joining us and taking part in the experiment.
Okay.
I want to talk to a couple of other before we go on, just to kind of establish what's been going on. I believe Michael is on the line. Michael?
Hi, how are you?